Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And don't go booking that Havana vacation just yet. Tourism is not on the list of things that President Obama announced he will liberalize in relations with Cuba. Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, we will explain more of what is and what the hostile Republican Congress can and cannot block in the plan. And what about the surprise announcement this week that former Florida Jeb Bush is launching a presidential campaign committee? The Cuba issue has resonance for that. And who's ready for another Clinton-Bush election? Raise your hand. Also today, poet Claudia Rankine on her new collection called Citizen, and psychology professor Jeffrey Sachs, author of Flicker, Your Brain on Movies. But first, Cuomo bans fracking, hanging it on experts who know more than him. That's just the way he set it up in the campaign debate. Did you hear this in October against Republican Rob Astorino when Cuomo said he was still studying the issue?
I'm not a scientist. Let the scientists decide. It's very complicated. It's very controversial. People have very different opinions. Academic studies come out all different ways. Let the experts decide. And I've asked the expert Commission, Department of Health and Department of Environmental Conservation, give me a report. It's due at the end of this year. Whatever the experts say is right, that's what I will do, because, frankly, it's too complicated for a layman. As far as Mr. Astorino's position, when he goes upstate, he's Sarah Palin, drill, baby, drill. When he goes home to Westchester, he's Mark Ruffalo.
Ruffalo, Governor Ruffalo. You didn't campaign all year in Buffalo, did you? Anyway, it's a good day for Mark, however you say it, after he campaigned so hard for the state fracking ban. But what about the upstate communities hoping for those energy industry jobs? With us first today, Alex Beauchamp, Northeast Region Director of Food and Water Watch, part of the Coalition New Yorkers Against Fracking. Welcome to WNYC and congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I couldn't be happier.
Did you get everything you wanted here? Is this the total New York State fracking ban you were hoping for?
Yeah, it is, right? I think this is the best we could have hoped for. I think, like everybody else, I woke up yesterday morning having literally no idea what the governor would do. I think the administration kept it very tight, and I was incredibly pleased and excited. You played the clip before. You know, Cuomo, not just during the campaign, but for years and years and years, has said he'll let the science decide. Yesterday, he finally did that. And I thought the health commissioner, the DEC commissioner, really laid out the huge case that there is that fracking causes real harm. And so I want to thank the governor. I think it's fantastic.
Listeners, your reaction to the Cuomo fracking ban, 212-433-WNYC, good, bad, mixed. 212-433-9692. And for those of you who don't know, hydraulic fracturing, a fairly recent technique that can get oil or natural gas out of deeper ground than other drilling methods. No one expected the governor to allow fracking anywhere in New York City, near the New York City watershed. So what parts of the state were actually in play here?
Yeah, so at the cabinet meeting yesterday, Joe Martens, the DEC commissioner, had a good map showing kind of how the process had evolved. So the city watershed was off the table, Syracuse watershed was off the table, and then the shale, you know, goes pretty far into New York State. But they were really trying to limit it to some of the counties closest to the border, to the southern tier. And then, interestingly, they brought this up yesterday. A bunch of these communities have banned it locally, and those bans have been upheld at the highest court in New York State. So a lot of it was going to be off the table anyway, and they sort of made the case that, look, this really isn't going to be the economic game changer people once thought it was 5-6 years ago, and it's causing real harm to people, so we want to keep it out of the state.
Also with us now is Karen DeWitt, Capitol Bureau Chief for New York State Public Radio. Hi, Karen.
Brian.
How's the reaction in those parts of the state to this decision?
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting. Obviously, there's people in the southern tier, Marcellus Shale area, who really wanted hydrofracking because, as the governor said yesterday, they're worried about losing their homes because they can't afford their taxes and the mortgage, and they would really like to be able to lease their land to the gas companies. However, there is also people in those same areas who were against it. So it was a very polarizing issue, a very divisive issue. I think the governor felt that he really wasn't going to win no matter which way he decided. So, you know, on a political level, why not try to get back in the left of his party's good graces by just saying we're going to ban fracking right now?
One possible outcome here, Karen, was to allow local communities to make their own decisions about the jobs fracking could bring versus the air and water pollution risk. Why wouldn't have that been a better outcome, either politically or, you know, or for democracy or for the science or et cetera, than big government in Albany taking this choice away from them?
Well, that's where we thought it was going, because the state's highest court, the Court of Appeals, ruled that the local fracking bans were legal and that communities were allowed to vote and say, we don't want fracking. So you could make the case, we'll only have fracking in the communities that voted for fracking, where the majority of people want it. And, you know, there was talk of maybe doing 10 pilot wells and heavily monitoring them and seeing if anything bad happened. And actually, a lot of us at the Capitol, based on, you know, some conversations we'd had in background things, thought that that's the way it was going to go. So it sort of came as a surprise when the DEC Commissioner Joe Martens and the Health Commissioner Dr. Zucker yesterday started their presentations. And, you know, after a few minutes, we realized they're not saying one good thing about fracking. Mm-hmm. This thing is going down. And he also did not tip off the anti-fracking movement. He held this very close to the vest, maybe in sort of in retaliation for the fact that they have followed him around and plagued him for 2 years. He can't have a public event without people screaming in the background.
Yeah, so Alex Beauchamp from New Yorkers Against Fracking. Do you feel like your group pressured the governor into this? It was one of the biggest issues that caused him to lose a lot of votes in the Democratic primary for governor to Zephyr Teachout, who was challenging him from the left and running as much on fracking as any other issue that is as much on opposition to fracking. Do you feel like politics and pressure from your group, even though it wasn't going to cost him re-election, I think by anybody's calculus, actually won the day here?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this has been a huge campaign and there's no silver bullet thing, right? I think the evidence matters. I think the science matters a lot. I think that whole piece of it, of the public health community really coming out, mattered a lot. But yeah, absolutely, right? We've run a years-long campaign to be everywhere the governor is, both at Food and Water Watch and in the broader New Yorkers Against Fracking Coalition. And I think it's a real testament that people, when you organize together over long, long time spans, if you're consistent, you can win, and you can win even against literally the biggest industry on the planet. So I think it's a huge story. And I guess the one other thing I'd say is that New York, unlike other states, we've consistently called for a ban. And 5-6 years ago, even yesterday, frankly, yesterday morning, some people thought, that's nuts. It's not politically possible. And so I think it's a real lesson for the environmental community that you don't start in the middle. You don't start where you think you're going to end up. You start with what you want. What you wanted is a ban. Everyone told us it was nuts, and yesterday it happened. And so I think it's a real lesson for the environmental movement in general.
Murray,
you know, in a way, though, I would just
Karen,
say,
go
in a way,
ahead.
Though, Governor Cuomo kind of let you guys, Alex, build your strength because he, you know, dithered for 3 years on this. Back in 2011, it looked like they were going to go forward with fracking, and then they hesitated, and they had this rather mysterious health study that they wouldn't tell anybody what they were doing for over 2 years, and it was sort of inevitable. You guys had, like, lots of time to organize, and it got to the point where it was really going to be difficult for him to stand up to you, I think. So in a way, he kind of created this situation. Perhaps, do you think if he'd acted in 2011 and there were 10 wells and nothing bad happened, you know, it would have been a lot less stronger movement?
Well, it's interesting, right? I mean, this is a cause and effect question. I mean, at the time, right, we forever thought we have to fight as hard as we can to get a delay. And all of those delays, I think, you know, it's not like they just happened. They happened because of the movement. They happened because so many people were out there all the time. And so I think, you know, in some ways that's the way this stuff works, right? You work as hard as you can, and for a long time, winning basically equals delay if you're trying to stop something. And then eventually you finally get what you want. And so I think, yes, that's right. But I would just say that all those delays every step of the way, you know, 2 years ago they had that reg process. We had 200,000 comments. We had a massive delivery with Yoko Ono. We had thousands and thousands at his State of the State that year in the beginning of 2012. So, you know, that stuff, all of that stuff matters. And I think that that's part of what got you the delay to begin with.
Marie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I would urge people who are celebrating today to be extremely cautious. I know you don't want name calling, so I will not characterize the governor. But there are a number of instances where his words and his actions, or his words and the facts, have, shall we say, not been properly aligned. And I am very leery that if you look at the fine print in this with an electron microscope, you will find giant loopholes or other pitfalls. And though I'm staunchly opposed to fracking, I think it's very, very imprudent to assume that the top line, Cuomo bans fracking, is actually true until a whole lot more research with a skeptical, narrowed eye has taken place.
Alex Beauchamp.
Sure. So, you know, I think that's a good point. We certainly should be cautious. So based on what they said yesterday, if what they write, and I get what you're saying, if what they write matches what they say, I think it will be pretty clear. So the DOH health review they released yesterday, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I read every word last night. I will say, though, that the DEC is supposed to finalize the SGEIS, the Supplemental Generic Environmental Impact Statement. That's the regulatory piece we've been waiting on all these years. And yesterday they said, we will complete this in January, and it will say fracking is prohibited in New York State. If it says that, that's pretty ironclad. But you're certainly right. That document doesn't exist yet, but it should be forthcoming.
Well, I think Marie makes a lot of good points. It's true. He didn't say we're banning it forever or for 10 years or for 5 years until we find out more information. They did not put a timetable on this. And as Alex points out, they'd have to reopen this whole environmental impact statement if they wanted to start fracking. It would be, you know, a big undertaking, but they could do it. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but, you know, say Governor Cuomo runs for a third term and things change in, you know, 7 or 8 years. It's not out of the question that New York could have fracking at some point in the future.
Or if a Republican or other more fracking-friendly governor gets elected in the future. I mean, the health commissioner in making these, presenting these findings yesterday, Karen, did hang it on what we don't know about the potential health effects. He didn't say it's been proven hazardous. He said we don't know enough about whether it's hazardous to allow this to go forward and put people at risk. So maybe somebody's going to turn around in 5 years and say, look, there's been this fracking in all these other states for so many years now, and there have been no measurable health effects, if somebody, you know, could make that case. And then they look at it again, correct?
Yeah, well, I think what really could change is maybe they could improve the drilling process in some way, that it isn't so toxic or what people believe to be toxic, and that could be some development in the future that would make it a whole different ball game. But I think there have been a lot of studies recently that do suggest more ill effects from fracking that were around even, say, 3 years ago. So that definitely is a place that we're at now. But, it could change in the future.
Dave at the Battery Tunnel. You're on WNYC. Hi, Dave.
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm in Brooklyn. I'm not at the Battery Tunnel. But, I'm super happy, of course, that the fracking is banned. I was just wondering if the movie Gasland, it was a wonderful, beautiful film, what your thoughts were on the influence of that film. But really, more importantly, I was wondering, you know, it seems like this decision is coming down to one person, and I'm just wondering what the governor, and wondering what the mechanism is in place to sort of prevent the overturning of the ban in the future, what is the mechanism that the governor can decide such
do
an important
this.
Thing?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Dave, because there's so much conversation now from the right about Obama using executive power too much to do things that you probably support. So do you want the executive to have a lot of power and be able to get around the legislature or not as a general principle?
Well, obviously, when he's doing something I think is right.
There you go. There you go. Where you sit depends on where you stand.
I would just add the legislature does have the power in the budget. At the time where they were talking about doing fracking, mm-hmm. the DEC commissioner said they need 100 more staff to monitor the wells. And the legislature could have prevented that staff from being hired. So they could do that, but I don't think they have that much say in preventing a ban unless a majority voted and said we're going to have fracking. I mean, I guess it's possible they could pass a law to do that, but highly unlikely right now.
We're talking about Governor Cuomo's decision to ban fracking entirely in the state of New York. And Jessica in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica.
Hey, Brian. Thanks a lot. I just wanted to say, I mean, first of all, about the issue of whether they're going to revisit it, it sounded, at least from the question period, that they sort of nixed that one by someone asked the health commissioner about revisiting at a later date, and he sort of shut that question down. And I think it's really important because the fact that we're going to go forward now with not actually having fracking, one, the fact that the grassroots was so powerful in getting the right information and the right people in front of Governor Cuomo, the right information to, you know, to show the science and the health, and that the health commissioner actually didn't say exclusively that there wasn't enough. What he said was that the evidence that's been coming in so far has all shown there to be negative problems. There are some things that are inconclusive, and there are some things that haven't yet been tested. Mm-hmm. So I think that the fact that by us moving forward, you know, protecting New York State and the water and the food and the people and the public health and pushing for better economic development in the Southern Tier, like renewable energy, that will be, you know, good for New York City, good for New York State, good for the planet, for the country, for everybody, we'll be in a position where pivoting off of that, I think, wouldn't be feasible, wouldn't be viable, and will serve as a great example for the rest of the country that's looking for these opportunities to say that this is an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
And then Governor Cuomo, it would be foolish for him or anyone else to take us off a track that's developing positive energy and positive development and switch us off to something that's undoubtedly problematic, because we've seen it. There's 34 states where they're fracking right now. It's not like we need more sick people. Why do they need it? Unfortunately, there's essentially been a test project. It's called Pennsylvania. It's called North Dakota. It's called all of these other places where people are getting sick. It's just a question of there being more time for more of those numbers to come in for those longitudinal studies that Dr. Zucker was talking about.
Jessica, thank you very much. So Alex Beauchamp from Food and Water Watch, do you have numbers? Do you think in other states people are running away from fracking now that they've had it, especially in areas where it has created a lot of jobs? And we just talked on the show the other day about the transformative, revolutionary effect it's had on oil supplies in this mm-hmm. country. Just a few years ago, we were importing 70% of the oil used in the United States. Now we're only importing 30%. That is truly transformative to our economy and our foreign relations, and it's, you know, primarily as a result of this fracking technology, which has allowed us to get all this extra oil out of the ground domestically. Are people in North Dakota, are people in Pennsylvania, Ohio, having the active debates that we did in New York to run away from it?
So they are, right? I mean, New York's leading, right? So Governor Cuomo yesterday became a real leader on this issue. He's really taken the biggest action of anyone in the entire country. And so he should be applauded for that. It's fantastic. But you are seeing that, right? So there was an important Pew poll this fall that you're seeing Americans increasingly turning against fracking. And just in the last 18 months, the swing is huge. So 18 months ago, we supported it by a narrow margin. Now Americans are against it. And they're against it in every region of the country, including places you wouldn't expect. So there's an enormous swing in the Midwest. This is happening everywhere, right? And it's happening. It makes sense when you think about it, right? So this is a relatively new issue. Most people didn't know what fracking was 2, 3, certainly 5 years ago. So it's something like marriage equality, or like the way people fear about legalizing marijuana. The polls on this are moving incredibly fast. And from a political perspective, particularly a national perspective, it's quite a shrewd move by Governor Cuomo. I think that this will play incredibly well, and it'll play incredibly well across the country.
Can you make the case that the last caller, Jessica, was making with specifics, that there are many people getting sick
as
a result of fracking?
Yeah,
you can.
And this
is demonstrable with numbers and types of diseases?
It is. So there's a woman, Jenny Lissick, has a fantastic list of the harmed, mostly from Pennsylvania, although there's cases across the country. In Pennsylvania, you actually have state data as well. So there's been 243 cases of confirmed water contamination from the Pennsylvania DEP, the Department of Environmental Protection. And the Pennsylvania DEP does an absolutely horrible job at this stuff. So that's just what they've found, 243 confirmed cases of water contamination. So the industry guys always say,
is that water contamination, or is this human illness?
Well, it's water contamination, but then there's human illnesses that come from that. So most of the illnesses are coming either from that or increasingly from air contamination. So a lot of the studies cited yesterday by Dr. Zucker are really looking at the air impacts of fracking and people getting sick from that. So there's data on all this stuff. The point Jess makes is right. You need more study. You need more time for the big longitudinal studies. But what we found in the last 3 years, you know, since we began this debate in New York, there was almost no study on this stuff. Now there is a lot, and certainly it's not sufficient, but everything everything we're seeing is bad. Virtually everything we're seeing is bad. So I think that's quite striking, and I would expect it to get worse, frankly.
Karen, how specific did they get in the presentation yesterday, the health and environmental commissioners?
Well, mostly they just said the overview of the various studies and where the studies are trending. It was mostly designed to sort of downplay any of the positive economic effects and to play up the possibly toxic effects. And one thing, just to, you know, give some time to the other side, there has been economic benefits for the states that have had it. I drive around rural New York a lot, and I've had occasion to drive around rural Pennsylvania quite a lot in the last couple of years. And you go by houses in these little towns and stretches of road, and they look like the people who live in them have jobs. You go to the same kind of rural areas in New York, and the houses look like the people don't. So that there has been an positive economic effect. Maybe it won't last. Maybe it's a boom. But that is something that I think is kind of undeniable. But you know, as we're discussing here, what's the price of that economic prosperity? If you're going to get sick eventually, maybe it's not worth it.
Larry in Greenwich, you're on WNYC. Hey, Larry.
Hi. The last person who spoke, I'm sorry, I missed your name, just said a
there's
much the heart of
Karen DeWitt, Albany bureau chief for New York State Public Radio. Larry, go ahead.
Hi, Karen DeWitt, thank you. I'm a retired truck driver, live in St. Paul, Minnesota, spend a lot of time in my retirement now in the New York area. I'm a native New Yorker. Truck driving from the Midwest in and out of the Northeast for 15 years till I retired. I got to know casually in cafes, over coffee, whatever, truckers and other people. I don't mean as close friends, but I saw just what she was talking about. And I hate poverty like most WNYC listeners, and I'm also
like
very worried about the environment,
beings.
Like the majority of the listeners, really worried about it. On the other hand, the part of me that hates poverty in urban sites also hates it in rural parts, and I've seen it more than many people do. And she just nailed it. The transformation, the northern half of Pennsylvania, roughly speaking, north of I-80, is rural and poor. And not everyone is poor, obviously, but you know, it's really a tough, tough area, very hard for young people to survive and stay at home, et cetera. And we need to be very conscious of that and just how reacting to the whole decision. So really a tough, you know, one of those things that's a real paradox.
Larry, do you trust, coming from that starting point,
yeah,
do you trust the science on which they said this decision was based? Do you trust the political conclusion? Do you trust the conclusion to not be a political conclusion, but to be really a scientific one, that this isn't worth the risk?
Yeah. I'm relatively weak on science and strong on politics, just in terms of what I understand and paid close attention to. I don't know enough to have a confident opinion on the science. I'll be reading more and more about it.
Mm-hmm.
The politics of it, I would, you know, I don't think you can appreciate Governor Cuomo. There's a lot I like about him. I'm not a New York voter. Without imagining, though, that there's a lot of politics at the core of this decision in his mind, and what his future hopes for himself are, we do not know publicly, right? So we can only guess.
I
would lean toward thinking there's a lot more politics in it than mm-hmm. science, but I'm not sure.
Larry, thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it. And tomorrow we're probably going to have the New York State Environment Commissioner on the show. And if that comes through, we'll go into the science and get into the more of the weeds with that with him and see just how much they can actually demonstrate that it is science and not politics. But Alex Beauchamp from New Yorkers Against Fracking, with global warming so much at the top of the environmental agenda, with the very fate of the planet and humanity seem to be at risk for that, and fracking primarily being for natural gas, although it's also for oil. Do you have any ambivalence about having gotten so involved in this issue? It's like whatever the main alternatives to carbon are that are technically feasible today seem to also bring, you know, the same ferocity of opposition, certainly nuclear power and now fracking, which was for natural gas, which I know they're at debates about whether that also contributes to carbon emissions, but I think most of the science says that, you know, it doesn't rival oil and coal. So do you think about that in the larger picture?
Well, I think of fracking as a climate change issue, right? So, you know, if you just look at carbon, it's certainly less than coal. If you look at methane, people always think of global warming as just about carbon, but there's a lot of global warming gases, and certainly methane is incredibly incredibly bad for the climate. So if you look at the life cycle of fracked natural gas from the wellhead all the way to when you burn it, we think there's good data, particularly out of Cornell, from Professor Bob Howarth, that it's actually as bad as coal or worse. But more importantly, if you think of global warming and in a broad perspective, the best science out there is saying we need to leave 80% of proven reserves in the ground. That's not 80% of coal and oil. It's 80% of proven fossil fuels in the ground. So I think if you think of what Cuomo could do for the climate, this is the best thing he could possibly have done. If you really believe we have to keep 80% in the ground, you've got to start saying no to something. And right now, as a country, we're sort of following President Obama's woefully misguided all of the above strategy where we think we can just do it all. You can't. You have to leave 80% in the ground. This is something we're leaving in the ground. And there aren't a lot of examples around the country of other things we're leaving there. So I think it's a fantastic decision for the climate. It largely didn't play out that way publicly because people are so worried about the localized impacts, and they should be. But I think it's a fantastic decision for climate change.
Alex Beauchamp, Northeast Regional Director of Food and Water Watch, also part of the Coalition New Yorkers Against Fracking, and Capitol Bureau Chief for New York State Public Radio, Karen DeWitt. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, don't go booking that Havana vacation just yet. Tourism is not on the list of things that President Obama announced he will liberalize in U.S. relations with Cuba. We'll look more at that announcement, what the Republican Congress can and cannot block in the plan, and the surprise announcement this week that former Florida Jeb Bush is launching a presidential campaign committee. Who's ready for another Clinton-Bush election? Raise your hand, and what does Cuba have to do with it? We'll talk about all that next.